The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Kimberly McQuinn, real estate aficionado. Yeah, in the house. That's what I said. Plus, we're talking about praying in the name of Jesus, the good, and believe it or not, the bad. We're going to have to cover that. And finally, since we are in the world, but not of the world, what separates us from the world?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Now, all three of those things, those are good. See, surviving is good when you need to survive. Living is good when you need to live. And prevailing, man, we need more of that in all of our lives. Politics, entertainment, and current events. I'm not really going to comment very much on the fact that nobody seems to know how to run an app. I've got nothing. I built one. I make no comment. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I'm going to just start off by telling you, Kimberly McQuinn in the studio with me live. You want to say hi, Kimberly? You can say hi real quick.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, and then we got some things we want to cover. I definitely want to cover some of our history, but we do want to give some acknowledgments to some of the people that have been working strong and hard with us, being ministry partners. Why? Because you know we've taken the entire concept of the David Spoon Experience and moved it into a ministry, from a business to a ministry. And so now we've moved it from what we're at to a nonprofit. Changed everything. Why? I don't know. What are you asking me for? Like, I know the answer to that. We want to give a shout out to our good friend Johnny Hill and Men of God Moving. That's right. 10 seconds of that, and then it's off. Why? Because we don't pay royalties. MenOfGodMoving.com. That's their website. If you go to Facebook, you can type in Men of God Moving. If you need somebody to help you out, Johnny is your man. He's such a good guy. And he's been on the show a ton. He's going to be on Thursday and Friday as the Lord is moving him into full-time ministry. Isn't that wild? It's just like, what is all this stuff going on? Like, I don't know. I will tell you, in the later segments, we're giving away tickets. I need to tell Wonder Julie. Hey, Wonder Julie, we're giving away tickets. Thank you for that acknowledgement. They're playing, by the way, UConn, so I think this SMU ticket giveaway is going to be pretty good. All right, let's talk about the holidays before we get into any of the teaching. What are the holidays? Do you know, have any idea what the holidays are whatsoever?
I don't.
All right. First, it is Thank a Mailman Day.
Thank you, mailman.
Thank you. Second, it's Stuffed Mushroom Day.
Ooh.
Now, see, no, that's good.
That sounds delicious.
That sounds good. And then somehow it got to be like Create a Vacuum Day, but I think there's a void there because I think that one just really doesn't really pull the air in there for me. Just I don't get Create a Vacuum Day. Is that like everybody creates their own vacuum? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't either. Here's what I am going to tell you. I have a very good friend who's listening, one of my best friends for over 30 years. Anybody that stays friends with me for over 30 years is an idiot.
It's very patient.
Yeah, very. Is an idiot. All right. Rob Lafler, friend and brother, on this day in 1960, came into the world and the whole world went, Ay vey. That's all I can say. So happy birthday to Rob.
Happy birthday, Rob.
And just in case Rob wants to know what else happened on his birthday, the first Winter Olympics were held in the United States on this day, on February 4th, 1932. And then he has this also to share with that. This is also the day of the Patty Hearst kidnapping.
Oh, nice.
In 1974, when she was kidnapped by the Siamese Liberation Army. So that's a good birthday present for you, Rob. You can just enjoy that. Okay. There you go. Was that hilarious or what? I don't know. I'm losing it. How was your? Are we supposed to get really tough weather? Is what I heard. Is that right? Like rainy, freezy stuff.
It could happen. Wait. You know, they really won't know until it happens.
What do you mean it could have? So now they're not sure?
Because it'll come along the edge and it could be not make it, or it could really make it. So we just don't know.
What happened? I mean, if it's supposed to rain tonight or tomorrow?
It's supposed to rain tonight, but the temperatures are going to be like 33 degrees. And we've got a wintry mix from midnight tonight, like through tomorrow at, you know, noon or something. I saw a clip and it was like the Cat in the Hat, and it said, "Will it rain? Will it snow? I live in Texas. I do not know."
That's right. Right here in Texas. I just want to say that's why the weather's bipolar. Okay, there you go. Could be this way, could be this way.
You can wear everything in your closet in 1 week.
Yeah, this is like somewhere between the weather and the driving. I'm trying to figure out who put this whole thing together. But we'll wait on that. The one thing I love about Texas, the pride of the state. The one thing I don't love about Texas, the driving in Dallas. So I'm just going to say that, just get it out of my system. Thanks. All right, let me get into my first teaching, and then I feel bad for Kimberly. I feel bad for you. I feel bad for you because you have to sit here and listen to all this and go through this, and then you get to talk, and then you're just going to be like, blah, 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 blah. But I think you'll do great, okay? All right. Here we go. First discussion of the day, pray in Jesus' name. How can we not? That's my question. But there's a caveat to this. So John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So there are people that won't pray in Jesus' name. If you ever watch television, about 99% of the people on television never pray in Jesus' name. It's very rare to see that take place, which is really bizarre since John 14 is as valid as judge not, lest ye be judged, yet you hear that on television every other hour. So here is the real take on that. Jesus said, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So the concept here is that when you're praying in the name of the Son, those answered prayers glorify the Father. Now, I'm not sure if most people know this or not, but it's really not about paying rent. It's not about paying your mortgage. It's not about the United States winning all the gold medals, although we tend to. It's not about any of those things. It's about bringing honor to the Father through the Son by the power of the Spirit. And if you haven't figured that out yet, let me help you out. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It never has been, and it never will be. Unfortunately, when we deal with society, they think it's about them, and then you have to fight through that process. This is about honor to the Father. We weren't created so that we can all walk around going, "Ain't I marvelous?" Because the answer is no. It's about honoring the Father, fellowshipping with the Father. And Jesus said this amazing thing. He said, ask in my name. So one of the things that I find amazing for Christians is why they wouldn't pray in Jesus' name. In other words, what restrains them or what withholds them? Now, if it's because they're trying not to be dishonorable, I almost don't have a problem with that. I mean, at least there's a sense of respect. But most people are just clueless, and so they don't know. Jesus said, ask in my name, and it'll be done for you, and that'll glorify the Father. And it's like they just are unaware of the passage. So you ask, Jesus said it'll get done, the Father will get honored, but, there's always that, isn't there? But anything that we ask in Jesus' name should be something worthy to be attached to Jesus' name. So what that means is when you say, oh, Lord, I love you, and what a fantastic sunset. Now just give me the lotto numbers, so that $10 million, I will give you even 20%, God. I'll give you 30%. Instead, why didn't you just say, God, give me $7 million, and then just move on with it? Because really what you're asking for is just stuff for you, and not so that you can be so much giving it to him. Here's the bottom line. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And it's like, wrong answer. You can't do that. So you don't get to go to Jesus and go, wow, look at that Corvette. I want that one in Jesus' name, and expect anything to happen other than God to say to you, what is your problem? The idea that you can use Jesus' name in prayer like some kind of magic bullet is insanity. The idea that you don't use Jesus' name in something that you're pursuing God about is also insanity. Both of those. You should come before the Lord, pray in Jesus' name, a worthy cause attached to his name. Remember, when you come in Jesus' name, you're coming in the fullness of Christ. You're coming in everything that name represents. And what you should be asking for should be at that level of honor and worthy to be doing that, which means it's not flippant. And I know in our society, we tend to take, you get one thing and it's like the fad of the week. Or something that happens, or, you know, for kids, it's like Pokemon or something like that. It's like, oh, this is the big rage. This is the big rage. This is not a big rage. This has been going on for thousands of years. When you come before the Father, it's not that you're worthy or not worthy. I'll help you out. You're not worthy. It makes it easy. Don't worry about it. But when you come before the Father and you pray in the name of Jesus, in reference to your connection and communion with Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying it will get done, but it has to be worthy of the name of Jesus. It is in that name. I'll just give you one reference real quickly. Just think about Acts chapter 3, verse 16. It is by the authority of Jesus Christ in the prayer and confidence in that name and in that authority that that man who was sitting at the temple gate was healed. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. It's a big deal for you and I. It shouldn't be treated in a sense that you just ignore it, and it shouldn't be. And by the way, let me just say this real quickly. There is no specific formula. You don't have to go in the name of Jesus or in the name of Jesus of Nazareth or in the name of him. And that, if you're coming in the Lord's name, the Father knows. You don't have to say it in such a way as to him go, oh, I didn't catch that. I didn't get that little line right there. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about coming in an honorable fashion, bringing right things before the Lord, and bringing it in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. That is a good thing. That is a great thing. That is not a toy. It is not a trophy. It is a tool to bring honor to the Father. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, then we're coming back with Kimberly. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water,
what is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Our hope, my hope, is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
Sometimes things go according to plan. Sometimes not so much. The Lord will always help his kids, but he does want us to use the wisdom he gave us as well. Insurance solutions are a great key for using preventative wisdom. If things do go in a tougher direction, insurance can be used to fill in the gap. There's biblical evidence for preparing for the future. King David did this for Solomon and the temple. Stephanie Vasquez has joined forces with New York Life Insurance Company to help provide insurance needs to fill in the gap. Stephanie hopes you never have to use the insurance she brings to you for life solutions. But if you do, it's good to know there's someone there who can help. Stephanie Vasquez will help you fill in the gaps. Call her today at 214-499-5378 or go to LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. That's LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. Stephanie Vasquez, New York Life Insurance, and you. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We want to let you know if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. You can always call and say, howdy. If you could say it that good, I would, howdy. Okay. Website, hemustincrease.org. I love it. Hemustincrease.org. We do accept donations. Why? Because we're trying to advance the show in both time and reach, and I can't do it by myself. That's why. If I had deep pockets, I'd just pay for it and wouldn't even ask you a single thing. But guess what? I wear shorts. I don't have deep pockets. It's just as simple as could be. Facebook, He Must Increase. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And then if you want to get the app, you can type in He Must Increase, and it's the first app that pops up. So I'm very, 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 very happy about that. We'll do the giveaway in just a second. I want a chance to talk to Kimberly McQuinn, who is a real estate aficionado. Welcome officially to the show.
Thank you very much.
Talk to me about Texas real estate. What is going on? I mean, it seems like there's quite a bit of real estate activity going on. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, it's been really good for several years. Mostly for sellers, but there's still a lot of good deals for buyers out there. We've just been, the inventory is low. So if you're looking at selling, wanting to sell, give me a call. Let's talk. We have a lot of buyers and having trouble finding housing for them, but there's still a lot of good homes that are reasonably priced that we have a lot of people coming in from other states that come in and can't believe.
Is that why the inventory is low? Is because you have so many people coming in?
We do. I mean, we've got, oh gosh, so many companies that are moving to Texas, travelers, several insurance companies, moving in the Frisco area.
So these are big corporations. It's not just individuals moving in. It's big companies moving in from all over the country.
Yes, correct. And so, with them comes all of their employees. So the rental market's booming. So we've got a lot of investors coming in. They're also, obviously moving from other states. And you have people coming in from places like California where homes are much more expensive.
Yes, they are.
much smaller, much more expensive. They come here and you can get a really, nice home for, half or a third of what they paid for something where they were at.
Exactly.
So it's, it's good. It's good. Even I like helping first-time home buyers a lot because I feel like I'm helping them more. So that's kind of nice. I actually helped my nephew buy his first home.
Oh, nice.
A little over a year ago. So that was, it took us almost a year to find him something because his, you know, price point was pretty low. But that was fun helping him. So
has it become your niche to help people in that first time buyers, or is it just something that it's kind of cool because you know they've never done it before?
You know what I'm saying?
I do. I would say I have always, you know, in third grade when they say, oh, what are you going to be when you grow up? I have it hanging on my wall in my office, and it says, I don't know what I want to be, but I want to help people. And I love working with investors because I can help them understand, especially if they come from a different market or a different area. You know, a lot of people go to these classes where they say, go in and offer 50% of list price on all these houses, and I can educate them on what the market really is like here versus what they learned in their class that they went to their seminar on the weekend. But first-time homebuyers, to me, I guess I just have a heart for that because I feel like a lot of times it's young couples.
Right.
Or sometimes it's older people that have just never owned a home. They moved around a lot with their job, so they just rented their whole life. So actually owning a home is a dream come true for them. It's part of that, you know, American dream. So my heart is there. But as far as a niche, I work in luxury real estate. I work in investment properties. I've done a lot of foreclosures and short sales. I have a lot of experience dealing with the banks and working on those as well. They're a lot more work. It's not as, I don't want to say fun, but it's not, because obviously the person involved is right. going through a struggle.
Right.
But yeah, I guess I would just say my heart, first-time home buyers are just kind of got my heart on that.
Yeah. So you're multi-niched. It's yeah. kind of the way to say it. All right, so I'm going to give out a phone number and an address. Okay, so, and by the way, you're doing fantastic, just to let you know. And if I do any of this wrong, which I'm really good at doing this part wrong, you just correct it and just tell me what it is. But right now for the number, we have 90348-HOMES. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, one for one. If I can go two for two, I'd make $1 trillion in any sport in the world. And for a website, you have turn2realtyteam.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So, and then one of the reasons that people don't know why you have turn2realtyteam.com is because the idea is for them to turn to Kimberly, turn to you, turn to the expert, turn to somebody who knows what's going on. So this is kind of a laying the groundwork for a long foundational kind of process, right?
That is correct. My husband and I both are really into, you know, words have meaning.
Uh-huh.
And we were trying to think, I had a team years ago, and then we thought we were moving to Florida. So I kind of let things go. And then I just came back and we're going to start the new team. And we were talking about it, praying about it. And it was the turn to God kind of kept coming into our head. And so it was, you know, turn to. We're also both baseball. He's a baseball player. I'm a softball player. And turning to, obviously.
Right.
Double play.
Yeah.
Love it. And then the turn to us. So it was kind of, it had multiple meanings, and I ran it by a few of my friends in the business, and they were like, yeah, that's the one.
Cool.
Go with that one.
That's a great way to get to the name. So again, I want to do the phone number is 90348-HOMES, H-O-M-E-S. I mean, if you're going to get a phone number for real estate, HOMES, that's a pretty good one. 90348-HOMES. Homes. Now, again, I'm just recapping so people know, not just first-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales, all of that. Real estate is to me in Dallas, it seems like there's a lot of boom and a lot more to come. It seems like it's going to be doing this for at least another year, two, three, four. Am I wrong about that? It just seems like people are kind of exiting California like me. And going, yeah, this is crazy. I can't live in a nut house. And so they come to Texas.
Yeah. I have a lot of clients ask me that same question. And I tell them, I wish I had that crystal ball that would tell me exactly when it was going to boom and bust. Unfortunately, I don't. I will say, you know, some of the mid and higher price point homes, not, again, you can't say across the board, because even just in a different area of the Metroplex can be different.
Right.
In you know, days on market, things like that. But the, some of the higher price point homes are probably slowing down a little bit, where you're not in every single one of them's in a multiple offer situation. Anything under, you know, 250, 225, a lot of times you're still in a multiple offer situation. Again, not always, and depending on area. Mm-hmm. So it's at one point anything under 350 was multiple offers first day on the market, and it was
it was
tough, and you had to. That was one of those where, you know, me educating my buyers, okay, look, let's get into this for the long haul. Here's what we're looking at. Here's what it's going to look like. We may or may not have multiple offers, but if we do, here's how we address it. And, you know, just kind of going through those steps with them, regardless of what situation we're in.
For a person who wants to buy a house and doesn't know the qualifyings. And so the reason that I'm bringing this up is because we had this bubble that took place, you know, years ago. And I was actually one of those people that got fried in that bubble scenario. And it was so bad. I'm going to be very careful how I say, and who, I'm not going to say who did this or whatever. But I mean, the finance person offered to pay my down payment because of how much money they were making off the loans. I mean, it was just like, even I was thinking, this doesn't seem right.
Wow.
This just seems kind of bizarre. But now the qualifications have been settled down. It seems like it's like you can't just say, I make $1 trillion. Oh, here, you can have a $1 trillion home kind of thing. What are the qualifications for somebody to buy a house for $200,000? What are they going to need credit-wise? What are they going to need cash-wise?
Well, I'm gonna say the first thing I would do is refer you to my lender.
Okay.
And I have a couple of lenders. I have, you know, a team of a title company, lenders, inspectors, things like that,
mm-hmm.
Because those things change. And I've actually seen several articles that the stated income loans are coming back, which is probably not the best thing. But then for those of us that are self-employed,
right.
there is a benefit to it.
Sure.
I think there just needs to be a little bit more control than just flat stated.
Right.
But figuring out ways around all the, you know, when people take the deductions and things like that. I have lenders that can do as low as, you know, 580, 620 credit score. Obviously, you're not going to get the best rates
right. And
things like that.
But they can refinance as things get better.
They can refinance later. But I always, that's the first thing I do, is if you don't know and you're not sure what your price point's going to be and you're not sure, you know, what you can qualify for, is let's talk to one of my lenders and let them tell
us. Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than someone saying, well, I think I want a $300,000 house. I think that's what I can afford. And so we say, okay, we go look. And then they go to the lender and the lender says, well, no, you can only afford a $200,000 house. They're never going to find a $200,000 house that's going to meet what they saw at the $300,000 that they thought they were going to get.
That's a great point. And the important part about that is for them to not have such high expectations, and then they go in and then everything they see after that is going to be just a disappointment.
It makes it a very difficult process, and they don't enjoy it, and they don't like me after that because
you showed them the nice house they wanted to see, and that's not the house they can have. It's not your fault, but it's like that's you're going to get the blame no matter what. That's classic. All right, let me recap on a couple things, and then we're going to take our break. So the phone number to work with Kimberly. So now listen, it doesn't cost any money to talk to her and to kind of walk through it and say, well, what about this and what about this? And everybody's situation just a little bit different, so you want somebody who can adapt to that and make all the right answers and give you all the right advice. 903-48-HOMES, 903-48-HOMES. She's also linked to our website at hemustincrease.org in case you're like, oh, I can only remember Dave's website. And then her website is turn2realtyteam.com. Now, that's the number two, so turn2realtyteam.com. We're going to take our break right here. Then we're going to come back, and we got more to go, so I'm going to get a little bit of faith questions coming in. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough.
Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry. Okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
On Christ the Solid Rock,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, any ins and outs on our songs, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com. I went there today, and they have something called the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N, and you can download any of the songs for free. So that's kind of nice. That's a cool deal. You're welcome to call us, 972-445-0770. We're getting ready to give away some tickets for SMU, the UConn game. Oh, man. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org, coming out of John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's what John was saying. And it's really, for all of us in our individual lives, yep, that's it. More of God, less of us. Good idea. See, that's why if you want to really live, you have to die to yourself in order to really find who you are that God created. These things are all very spiritual, Dave. Yes, yes, they are. Thanks. We're hanging out with Kimberly. And you having fun so far? It's not too bad, right?
Not too bad at all.
All right. Just see, I paid her to say that. 903-48-HOMES. That's her phone number, 903-48-HOMES. TurnToRealtyTeam.com. Turn to. Like, turn to the Lord. Turn to realtyteam.com. Also hooked up on our hemustincrease.org website under Best Ministry Partners Ever. Here's our trivia question. This is for, now let me just say this real quickly. The UConn game is February 12th. And if memory serves me correctly, that's a week from tomorrow. It's the February 12th. So it's a week from tomorrow at 6 p.m. This is for two tickets and a parking pass to the UConn game, right? Talking top of the line here, people. Here it is. Here is the question. Ready? who were the only two Israelites allowed to go forward into the promised land? Who were the only, and they were the two guys that gave the good report. Who were the two Israelites who were allowed to go into the promised land after the 40 years after the generation had to die out? Who were the two that were allowed to go in? One of them should be really easy for you to know. There were two of them. They were two of the 12 spies that checked out the land. Who is that? Ooh. If you can't get that one today, I'll have an easier one tomorrow. Like, you know, how do you spell Bible? We'll do that tomorrow. All right. For those that are trying to find the number, 972-445-0770. That's a tough one, but it is UConn tickets. So I don't feel as bad, but tomorrow, if you can't get this today, we'll figure that out for tomorrow. 972-445-0770. Which two people were able to go in? Which two of the 12 spies were good? They gave a good report. All right. Kimberly McQueen, hang out with us. 90348-HOMES. You think, well, why'd you say that 10 times, Dave? Duh. Let's think. I tell you that so that you remember the phone number. Here's the question, Kimberly. Oh, somebody's already calling, so we didn't get very far. Well, I tried. I might have to keep you for the third segment.
Just
yeah, okay. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
It's Pittman.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
All right. Do you know which two people were able to go in? You got to turn your radio down on your end. That's a little bit of the feedback. Which two people were able to go in? Two of the 12 spies that were good that were able to go in because they gave a good report.
Joshua and Caleb.
That is correct, ma'am. You are 100% correct. You just won two tickets to the UConn game plus parking passes, which you can use for yourself. You can give to somebody else. Entirely up to you. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to hang on to the phone, and then Wonder Julie's going to get your information, and then we'll get you those tickets, okay? And the parking pass.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay. Awesome. That's fun. All right. Let's talk. Let's go right now back with Kimberly. So, Kimberly, you are a person of faith.
I am.
You are. Have you been a Christian a long time, short time? I mean,
I was raised going to church.
Uh-huh.
When I was, around 11, you go through the survival kit and you take the classes with the pastor and then you go get baptized and all that. But I think I was an adult before I really realized what being a real Christian was and what really accepting Christ as my Savior was. I think I still struggle.
Sure.
I'd say I'm a baby Christian now, even though I've been a Christian for years, because I'm learning to trust more and learning to have that faith in good times and in bad. I'm one of those, when things going good, I don't think as much about it, but when things go bad, I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do to mess it up?
Right. Gotcha.
How did I screw up? Oh, okay, God, I need you to fix this because I really messed it up this time. So that's,
Was there a moment? Was it for you, was it gradual or was there something or one particular maybe service or one particular moment where you just went ding, ding, ding. Okay, that's enough. I gotta get this straight.
What I remember, it's been slow and gradual with plenty of dip. It's kind of like the meme you've seen on Facebook or anything else where it's, this is my path and it's the straight line going straight up.
Uh-huh.
And then this is what actually happened and it's lots of squiggles and ups and downs and every which way. That's kind of how it's been. But when my youngest was just a few months old, my ex-husband was gone on a hunting trip or something. I don't even remember where he was, but I went to church at Fellowship Church one evening. And they had a spontaneous baptism. And I was sitting there, and my baby was in the nursery, and I was sitting there, and whenever they called the spontaneous baptism, something in me was like, I need to stand up. But then the part of me went, sit down, what are you doing? You've already been baptized. But I need to do this, but no. And I
you know,
kind of up and down, up and down at the spot.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm doing this. And I did it with nobody there with me. There was, I had no family with me. I had, my kids were, my other two kids weren't with me at the time. And the little one was in the nursery. It was for me. It was, this was between me and God. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this now, not as an 11-year-old that, oh, this is what you do, because it's kind of the, this is just what everybody does at that age.
Right.
This was, I, you know, okay, God.
This was your response to the Lord for you.
Yes. For me, nobody there, nobody, like I said, and I think that's why for me it was, I wasn't, I don't want to say showing off, but it wasn't, okay, family, I'm going to go get baptized this
weekend.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Good observation.
It was just, this is it. And so I still have that picture in my Bible, so I can see it every once in a while to remember that that was kind of the moment that I think that I made the choice.
Right.
Rather than lie for the world or whatever the church said, is making the choice.
You know, what's amazing about that is that you, it's what you just shared is, ironically, is the iconic battle for every Christian on the, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not? Just like, part of you standing up, part of you sitting down, part of you standing up, part of you sitting down. Yet the Lord prevails, and then you make that stand, you make that decision, you make that commitment, and then your entire life starts to chart differently, just on that one, just on
and
that
it doesn't
one.
Go straight up like you.
Yeah,
like,
no, I mean,
oh, great, I'm doing this now, and everything's going to be great now.
Yeah,
and it's anything but that. But
yeah, it doesn't exist that way, does it?
No, I mean, it did not.
In fact, I mean, I've had that conversation with people. It's like, well, once you accept Jesus, everything is roses. It's like, if you follow Jesus, you find out that after 3 years, it's not roses, it's a cross. No. And it's like, that's not, if you followed him in the first year and went with him for 3 years, it's like, where's this ending up? I mean, that's kind of the attitude.
And I'm pretty sure I didn't follow as I went along. I strayed several times.
You weren't perfect?
No.
Really? Wow. Welcome to humanity. Anyway, it's like, but now you're, it's more of a maturity as you're growing. Even though you're saying you're a baby, you're still becoming more and more like Christ, literally victory by victory. Is that, and that's kind of,
I think,
exciting.
Well, victory by victory, and I would say even failure by failure.
Oh, nice.
Because
yeah.
Even when I fail, and I do daily, just ask my kids. even when
spoken like a true parent.
But even when I fail, sometimes I learn from it, sometimes I don't, have to fall 2 or 3 or 10 times. But even when I do that, I've got to come out the other side as, okay, this was wrong. I know better now. And it's, obviously it's not from the Bible or anything else, but my grandfather used to say is, you make the best decision you can make at the time. Sometimes you're going to make the right one and sometimes you're going to make the wrong one. And I think sometimes even with that, we know better, but we still are living life and it's in the moment and you do something and you do whatever you need to do. And like I said.
You know, I had a general manager of where I was, the fast food place, Rack's Roast Beef in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said, Dave, he said, make a decision. He goes, it'll probably be wrong. He goes, if it's right, you're lucky. And the point he was making was just make the call. And in the kingdom of God, if the Lord doesn't make it clear, you do the best you can. And the scripture says, if you be otherwise minded, he will reveal even this unto you. If it's a path that God needs to redirect you in, he will. I mean, that's his commitment, because he doesn't say, I'm with you as long as you make every perfect turn, because if that's the case, we'd all be lost.
That was true.
Nice job. Good job sharing. That's kind of a hard – it's hard when you get into that sometimes and talk about your faith at that level. Here's something I want people to know. You got to talk to Kimberly about real estate. You got something going on? Look, you can hear her. You know what's going on. You know the sincerity in her voice. 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. Also, turn to realtyteam.com. As well, she is connected to hemustincrease.org. Encourage you to get in touch with her and connect with her. I think you'll find it to be a blessing one way or another. We're going to take our short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait. there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on, you don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses, he broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? You know that one? On the side of his head. What? That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple. Because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you going to tell me life's so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right. Here, we'll get to the best ones, then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
No, the cheetah. The cheetah! Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know, if you ever want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. You call and say, howdy. Website, hemustincrease.org. He Must Increase. Now, there's videos on there. There's audio clips. There's sermons. There's my testimony. There's 2,500 hours of podcasts. 2,500 hours. There's plenty there. Trust me, there's a lot there. And I haven't even, that's only 6 years worth. It's like, wow, I probably should do better. It's like 255,000 downloads. It's like, I don't know. I never monetized it. It doesn't matter now. We've had a great time hanging out with Kimberly McQuinn. Great job, by the way, Kimberly. Thank you very much. Her phone number, 90348-HOMES. 90348-HOMES. H-O-M-E-S. Especially if you're a person that's thinking, you know, I have been thinking about the real estate stuff. Talk to her. Give her a call. Reach out to her and then get some information from somebody who knows what's going on.
That's probably a good idea, as opposed to just throwing a dart at the wall and then hoping something, you know, hoping you hit the target. That's probably not the way to go about it. All right, tomorrow, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. I haven't decided because Johnny's coming in Thursday and Friday, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do the expository teaching, but I don't know if I'm doing expository teaching tomorrow, and I haven't figured it out. I'm still working on it. Here's something I want to talk about, though. I want to talk to you about, there's a part A and a part B in this. It's the difference between you and the world. So we are, as you know, we are Christians. And most of the people that are listening right now, Bible-believing, born-again Christians who are trying to, you know, do their best to walk with the Lord day by day, recognizing that there's a trumpet blowing at some time. Some are really committed to how that process is going to happen. Some are not as committed to how that process is going to happen. So what? I mean, so you got brothers and sisters in the Lord, same Father, blood relatives, the blood of Jesus Christ, drinking from the same Holy Spirit. Got it. Okay, got it. That's all. So we're all connected there, but there's a difference between us and the world. And if you look at James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, friendship with the world puts you in an enemy position with God. And that's a problem. It's like, ooh, yeah, okay. Don't want to be there. I don't mind having enemies in life. I just don't want God to be one of them. It's kind of like, call me crazy, but, you know, I'd like to pick and choose my battles. Thank you very much. So there are two very significant elements in the Gospel of John that talk about the difference for you and I in regards to the world. And that's what I want to talk about. It's, see, if you're in the world, but you're not of the world, then what separates you from the world? See that? See, that's very kind of a very simple formula. Here it is, the first part of it, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, said Jesus, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So the another that Jesus is talking about that will be with us forever that the world is unable to connect to is the Holy Spirit. In your life, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about this before. It's not that there's ever a perfect analogy, though I love this analogy, that the Holy Spirit is often thought of like sunshine. People can come out into the sunshine and have as much as they want, or they can stay in the shadows and not catch any of the rays. Well, the world is in the shadows. And one of the differences between you and I is that between you and I and the world is that in us is the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside us. When we said yes to Jesus Christ, when we said, yes, I believe, I receive, I accept, I don't care what word you use, when you said, yay, you said, yay, Jesus be the Lord of my life, by faith, you received a residency of the Holy Spirit in your system. And now that the Holy Spirit's in you, that distinguishes you from the world. You're not like the world. That's why you don't get away with what the world gets away with. Because when you do something and it's wrong, the Holy Spirit goes, hey, and you go, uh-oh, and you're busted, and you know it. And you're like, okay. So the first thing that distinguishes you is that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remember, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in you, and that makes you different right off the bat. Here's the other part of it, and I can do 5 hours on this, so I'm doing this in 5 minutes. How can you also know the difference between you and the world? John 14, 22 through 24, the very next segment. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not the world? Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him and we will come and to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you heard is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. The other distinguishment for you and I from the world is that we believe and love and keep the words of Jesus Christ. And the world hates Jesus. They think he's a jerk. And we think he's Lord. Here it is. To one group of people, he's the Messiah. To another group of people, he's a stumbling block. Well, we're of the people that think, well, he's the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. He died on that cross, was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. He ascended to the Father, and he's coming back. That's our testimony. We believe that to be true. Because of that, the Holy Spirit abides in us. Because of that, we believe the words of Jesus are true. The world looks at us and goes, what is wrong with you people? And the answer is simple. We've read Psalm 73. It seems like the world gets away with all they want to get away with until we go into the temple of the Most High God and we realize their end. And then we go, there's nothing wrong with us. There's going to be something wrong with you. So that difference in you and I is established by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the Word of God that's active in our lives that we love. No, we don't do it perfect. No, we don't listen to everything, but glory by glory, step by step, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we step towards the Lord. We reflect Jesus' image more and more. It's very simple. God proclaimed you to be righteous like Jesus, and now he's got a 2x4, and he's beating you about the head to make you look like Jesus. And that just happens one whack of the wood at a time. Bam, 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 bam. That's how it goes. You think, well, that's oversimplistic. Yeah, I know. But it works. The reality check is we're not supposed to be removed from the simplicity that's in Christ and our devotions to Christ. It's like, okay, here's how it goes. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And the Word of God is something in your system, the truth, which you love. And Jesus's truth permeates your life. And yes, you're trying to do better and walk in a better way, but you love it and you're trying to figure out. But the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And the bottom line is, that's what makes you different. Because you said yes, and now everything is different. When the world says no, and then the world, Jesus said, they don't like me. They ain't going to like you. And that's what sets you apart into a different place. But let me ask you this one question. Who else has a heaven to put you in? Does the world? No? Then go with eternal life. Because that's just the only choice of wisdom that there is. Okay? All right. All right, folks, great job, by the way, Kimberly. Very, very proud of you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my privilege to have you. Folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.